This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Brandon, would you rather question 206-803-ROCK?
I got another text about avalanches. It said, would you rather have a ceiling collapse on your head or be trapped in an avalanche? Somebody says, bitches, I was in a massive avalanche in Revelstoke, Canada, while backcountry snowboarding. It is absolutely horrifying. Okay, that part I imagine.
Hey, that avalanche we're talking about up in Alaska, measured as deep as a 10-story building in places where those three skiers were lost. They had the parachute, they had the things that pop you up to the top and everything. They're like, they might be down a long way.
This guy says, I was lucky enough to have an avalanche beacon on and was found and dug out. I was under the snow for about 20 minutes and I thought, there was a good chance it was my time to exit stage left. I would choose the ceiling falling on my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Hey, man, if you've been through an avalanche, random, I can believe random, that you would pick random, anything
random,
else.
Yeah. Random.
Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola. Joshua, welcome to the program. Random question.
All right. This is going to be a tough one.
Oh, boy.
Would you rather eat one ghost pepper? One ghost pepper, or drink a gallon of someone else's loogies and spit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh. Give me the ghost pepper.
You're taking the ghost pepper. Because
yeah.
We know for a fact, I mean, this is hours. This is hours of absolute agony from what we know and watching videos. And these are just people who do the one chip challenge. I'm talking about eating an actual ghost pepper.
Yep.
I'm taking the ghost pepper.
Yep.
You're taking the ghost pepper.
Because I feel like I'm going to vomit about the same either way. But at least...
But it's not going to... It's not physically... I mean, look. Let's assume that you drink this gallon and it does not mess with your body.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Right. Everyone... No one's sick.
You're not getting a disease or anything like that. You're fine when you're done with it. The difference is your body's not going to take the physical toll that the gas... The acid reflux. Everything that you're going to get from this ghost pepper is going to be sticking around for hours on end.
It is hours on end, but it's just the pain and eventually... Eventually, it was a capsaicin. Is that the thing that makes peppers hot, right? So, I just read about this. So, the capsaicin, the reason it's hot, so when it goes on your tongue, right, you eat something super hot. And they were talking about the Carolina Reaper, which I believe is the hottest pepper on earth right now. But they said, look, it's not that it doesn't suck. It definitely sucks. But the capsaicin itself, it attaches to certain nerve endings on your tongue.
All right.
Your tongue specifically. But then it creeps up into your mucous membrane. And everything you do as a result, so the tears in your eyes and the runny nose, that's your body trying to flush it out. So you say it's from the pain, but it's actually your body trying to flush it out. So they said, look, the thing with like a ghost pepper or these other peppers that have the high capsaicin count, whatever, Scoville count, they take longer to break down. So they're already hot and they hit your body, right? And they cling onto these nerves. So they're like, you're not really tasting anything. It literally is just pain.
So it's just immediately trying to get out of your body. Your body's trying to reject it immediately.
Because these nerves go, oh my God, we have been napalmed. So they send that signal to your brain. The brain says, well, hell, if we've been napalmed, do everything to flush it out. So that's why people start drooling. That's why your nose runs. And it's not that I want to eat a ghost pepper, but the idea of drinking loogies. And sadly, I almost have an example of this. When I'm growing up, my grandmother, on my mom's side, she, you know, when you're a kid, whatever you see, you're just used to it because that's how things are. Looking back, this is disgusting. So like anything, she'd be laying in bed half the time you went to visit her. And on her nightstand, she had a half-gallon, empty half-gallon milk thing. And as she's talking to you, she'd
oh.
Yeah, I mean, she would just spit it in there. But again, I grew up with this. I just thought that's what everyone did. It was just her. Anyway, I got to be about 11 years old. My 3-year-old cousin at the time, he did not realize that it was not milk. So we're all in there talking to her. I believe we were watching the movie Silverado back in the day. Just gotten cable. And that was on, and there was no nudity, so it was cool to watch. And my cousin, he walked over, he grabbed this milk carton, popped it open, started to tip it up, and everyone in that room screamed no at the same time. So he broke down in tears. He thought we were mad at him. We're just like, bro, do not drink anything in that milk carton. And even just the milk. And keep in mind, he did not drink any. You never saw the inside because it's, you know, an opaque carton, but like, the thought of that, even now, I'm just like, I'm going to throw the hell up. It is so gross. Because when she would first spit it in, you'd hear it hit the bottom. After you're there for 2 or 3 days, you realize it's the same carton. It's not making contact with the bottom of the carton anymore. It's just landing on loogie. So I never looked inside. I understood what was in there. So the idea of drinking a gallon of other people's stuff, I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah, okay. Man. Right. I can't do it. And sadly, that is based on personal experience. Like, no, just the thought of it is mortifying.
Okay.
It is random. Would you rather question 206-803-ROCK?
Wait, somebody corrected me. Pepper X is now the hottest pepper in the world.
Well, they're all made in a lab anyway. Yeah. So you can continue to do this for the rest of your life if you want to.
But why do they feel the need to make it hotter, right? So the Carolina Reaper, the guy that put them together,
I think the challenge of it.
Well, for him, he was putting all the seeds together of all these different, I believe he leaned predominantly Asian peppers, mm-hmm. which already kind of skew hotter. And he's like, I came up with this thing, and he goes, it actually tastes good when you're done with the pain. So his goal was not, he knew it was going to be hot. And his goal wasn't just to make it hot, it was also to have some flavor.
That's my only thing.
The problem is, it's so hot, and he's a little better at it than normal people, but he's like, but I get it. It was a little hotter than I thought it would be, so by the time you get to the taste, you don't want anything to do with it.
I think jalapeno is as far as I'll go on the taste of enjoying a hot pepper.
Jalapeno, man, that's like the bottom rung.
As far as the flavor. You know, just the flavor aspect. Like, right. I like a green pepper. I like any form of that. White, yellow, red.
What about a habanero?
I don't mind. I just like the taste of a jalapeno as far as I can take the heat. I just like the flavor of it. Like, I love a verde type pepper, like an Anaheim pepper or, you know, something like that, a green chili. I like the taste of those peppers.
I'm with you, Miles, on that jalapeno is probably the hottest that I go because I do enjoy the flavor of jalapeno. Habanero, I can stand the heat. I just don't really prefer the flavor.
That's what I'm saying. Like, as far as the taste of it. Goes.
Right. The flavor of habanero, like, I can handle the heat. It's not that. It's spicier than jalapeno for me, but I just don't like the flavor. Beyond that, I haven't tasted enough flavor to warrant the amount of spice I'm getting.
All right, so they have a quick list here, all right? So this the Scoville heat unit of different peppers you use. So bell peppers, zero. There's no Scoville's.
I love the flavor of them.
All right, banana peppers that you get on the sandwich.
I love those, too.
It's about 500.
Those are fantastic.
Poblanos, 1,000 2,500. And then jalapenos, believe it or not, 2,500 to 10,000 Scoville. So
I grow them every year.
You might get a super spicy one. The serrano peppers, one step up from jalapeno, but it won't kill you. The Tabasco / cayenne pepper, 25 to 50,000.
Okay.
All right, now, the peppers, so a habanero is 100,000 to 350,000. And I'm good with a habanero, and I like the taste. I don't typically go above that. What shocks me here is that the Thai chili peppers, which to me are some of the hottest.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, you get Thai.
Oh, yeah. One to five stars.
It's below a habanero, man. It's 50,000.
That's why they ask, how much do you want? Because they could give you just a little.
Say like, two. Just two. But yeah, Carolina Reaper is 1.5 million to 2.5 million Scovilles. And as people pointed out, Pepper X, 2,693,000 Scovilles.
Not doing it.
Come on, man. Random. Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Brock, welcome to the program and the random Would You Rather question. Let's go with this one. Would you rather, Brock, deal with a scorpion, an alligator, or a clown in the wild? So, would you rather deal with a scorpion, an alligator, or a clown?
The clown? Did you say clown?
A clown. Yeah, like a clown.
Well, I think I'd go with the clown in the wild, but...
Are you really thinking this through, man?
Right. You're not just like a carnival or something like that. You're out
just dealing with a clown.
Right. There's just a dude dressed up as a clown.
I'm in the wild, like out in the woods somewhere. I guess I'm going to go with the scorpion.
You're going to deal with the scorpion.
I'm right there with you. Like, the clown sounds funny, and then you go, wait a minute. There's a guy dressed as a clown in the middle of the woods. Like, nothing good.
But you got to remember, people who play golf in Florida, they encounter alligators all the time. So do residents there. But they're more common on the golf course because there's a lot more water. And they will take their clubs and just poke the thing, and they'll run away.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who are walking their dogs, along the lake.
And
the
dog's gone.
And either the dog gets drug in or the woman walking the dog gets drug in.
Sure.
Both scenarios have happened.
I used to have a friend on his birthday every year. He would throw a party, and there'd be about 10 or 12 of us that would go bar hopping dressed as clowns. And to watch people's faces when you walk in like that, I'm like not a clown person, but it was funny just to watch. Either people loved you and came over and hugged you, or they totally freaked out.
Yeah, I will say this. It sounds dumb. I feel like if there's a gaggle of clowns, nothing bad's going to happen, right? So if it's three or more clowns, this is just my unscientific measurement, you go, all right, that might be a little weird, but they'll probably have fun. They'll probably do drinks with you, take a couple pictures. A solo clown in the woods, my first thought is like Deliverance. Like nothing good is going to happen.
There's a bar on the Alligator Alley right in the middle of Florida. So if you're traveling between Naples, say, and wherever the hell your in-laws live.
Delray.
It goes straight across there. And it goes right through the Okeechobee Swamp. There's a bar in the middle that's a famous bar. And they serve, you know, alligator bites and all the typical
delicious things,
grouper sandwiches, all that crap. Chicken wings. And the menu says all... uneaten food and food particles go into the swamp.
Yeah.
So when you walk out the back door of this place, there's a huge deck, and if you have chicken wing bones, you throw those in the swamp.
Oh, so you're the one who actually disposes them.
Correct.
All right.
And then you put your basket out there on the table when you're done, and they have a place for you to throw away, you know, the paper wraps,
sure,
your napkins and all that stuff. But you typically, any food that you don't eat, no matter what it is, you throw that into the swamp, and the alligators are waiting for you, and they'll just come up, and you can feed them.
That's actually kind of cool.
It is pretty cool, but it's still kind of weird to realize that you're feeding alligators. And this is not, they are in the wild. This isn't like an alligator rescue or anything like that, if there is such a thing. This is just...
That's a rescue for everything.
Yeah.
Do they ever let anyone do that at the zoo? You know what I mean? Like, look, I'm sure they let a kid
alligators
feed a fish
to... Yeah, but they're dinosaurs. I mean, they...
Right, but I'm saying, typically where you can see an alligator, most zoos I've been to, you walk into the enclosure, it's all swampy, it's warm, and then there are a couple of bridges that go over the waterways they've constructed, right? And these gators are down there in the water, and they're typically 10 to 15 feet below your leg. All right, everyone, here's a chicken wing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just toss it in and watch it eat. Because feeding time is always interesting to people at the zoo.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but people like to watch
animals. You can feed alligators at the Everglades Alligator Farm in Homestead, Florida.
Yeah, but Florida doesn't count because you can do anything in Florida and they don't care.
You can
care.
Feed an alligator in your backyard.
You can throw your ex-wife in the swamp. They don't care.
Reason we asked, would you rather deal with a scorpion, an alligator, or a clown? As far as a scorpion goes, we go to the home of the scorpion. Boston, Massachusetts. A woman trying to get her luggage from the baggage claim area at Boston Logan International Airport Sunday night instead... got stung by a scorpion while grabbing her bag.
God.
The unnamed 40-year-old woman was taken to a hospital after the incident, but her current condition was unknown. Details of the incident were also scant, but an expert who was not involved in the case notes that scorpions don't typically target humans. It's conceivable that the scorpion could have somehow got entangled in some luggage unintentionally and got transported to Boston.
Yeah,
because
think?
Scorpions aren't common in the Northeast.
What?
Yeah. They said
thanks for that.
Scorpion stings are incredibly painful, but are rarely life-threatening. Per the clinic's website at the Mayo Clinic, healthy adults usually don't need treatment for scorpion stings, but young children and older adults are most at risk of serious complications.
I think I would take the scorpion in this situation.
I would take the scorpion. My father got stung in the face by a scorpion when he was... when he was a kid, so he lived in Houston, and then in the summers, they would send he and his siblings out to a place called Eagle Lake. And he said it was the worst thing in the world. His grandparents owned a farm out there, and he's like, you got to get up and work on the farm. But he goes, this is not like some big functional farm. This is, you know, some skinny-ass goat over there, half-dead cow. But, like, if you want to milk with your cereal, his grandmother was pointing, like, go get it. And he's like, so you're out there milking cows. Basically, he just said you would sit on the front porch, and there's a dirt road that led to this place. And you'd see a cloud of dust on the road, so you knew there was a vehicle. And you desperately hoped that it was someone coming to get you. Because honestly, that's all we would do. And every time I went by, you'd be pissed. Oddly enough, that's where he met Dan Rather, when Dan Rather was a kid as well.
Nice.
And he said he was that's a crazy country bumpkin. But anyway, there was a scorpion on his washcloth, or on the towel. So he'd wash his face. He goes, I went to dry, and I pressed this towel on my face. I get stung by a scorpion. And he's maybe 10 or 11, I guess, the way he tells the story. So he's freaking out. His face swells up. He's running to his grandmother. His grandmother's like, oh, baby, that's nothing to worry about. And so she grabbed whatever homemade remedy, like chewing up leaves and spitting it in his crap, and like just slapped it on his face. So an hour later, it was gone.
Man. Damn.
All the swelling. Gone. Oh, yeah.
Now, as far as alligators, alligator attacks are extremely rare in Florida, with only about 8 unprovoked attacks occurring each year on average. Those statistics won't matter to a man and woman who were attacked by an alligator in Polk County while kayaking. A woman suffered a serious injury to her elbow, and she needed to be airlifted to the hospital. Now, at the time of the attack, the woman was paddling in a kayak in the county that encompasses hundreds of lakes that are home to some of the largest alligators in all of Florida. So Polk County specifically has some of the big boys in that area.
But you went kayaking there.
A 911 call followed the attack and was released and shared on the news. The caller can be heard telling the 911 dispatcher, we have 2 people bitten by alligators. The woman's arm is bitten really, really bad. And the man, I think, was bit in the leg by the same alligator. They go on to say that when they tried to move her arm to put on a bandage, she screamed so much pain that they could not get any bandage on. Dispatchers then asked if the caller would let them speak with the screaming woman, and they did. She couldn't talk.
What did they think she was going to say?
She just continued screaming. The saying in Florida is, if there's any body of fresh water, then chances are there is an alligator in it. Now, as far as the clown, a creepy clown who has been frightening people at a mall, allegedly tried to steal from some of the shopping center businesses, was arrested last week when confronted by police. The clown reportedly took an aggressive attitude. According to the report, the incident occurred in Uman, Mexico. Police were alerted to the clown's presence after shoppers and merchants reported him hiding behind a clock tower and bushes and scaring pedestrians. The merchants also reported to police that he had attempted to gain entry into their businesses. Now, when the police arrived on the scene, the subject, about 25 years old, he took off running from the area, even with his clown feet on. He did not get far, though.
Wait, he was seriously wearing clown shoes?
He was. He was apprehended shortly after fleeing just a couple blocks away. Now, following his capture, police found the clown mask among his belongings. He also did not go quietly and was charged with resisting arrest. Now, believe it or not, and this is true, around 8 years ago, a creepy clown craze swept across multiple countries, including Mexico.
Okay.
Incidents such as the one that just occurred in Uman, Mexico, were commonplace all over the country. Many people were arrested and or injured as people dressing up as clowns tried to pull off several ill-advised stunts and would get punched or would get into fights or get knocked out. Things got so bad with the clowns. Hundreds, if not thousands of clowns gathered in Mexico City to condemn the scary clowns that were popping up all over the country.
That is something I would love to see.
Holding signs that says, we are clowns, not killers. They chanted this during the gathering at the Revolution Monument to protest the trend. Now, more recently, a Georgia man claimed that he was out for a walk when he encountered a well-dressed man with a clown mask and a tricycle.
Was that scarier to you, Mike?
He claimed that he ended up being chased by the man who was still on the tricycle, and that clown was now wielding a machete.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared for my life, said the unnamed man, who asked to remain anonymous over concerns for his safety. He was swinging that thing. I was terrorized.
A clown face inside a clown garb where it's all loose-fitting, it's got the frills and the buttons and the funny colors and all that, fine, that's a doggone clown. Business suit with a clown mask, that's some Joker-esque, man.
But he chased them on a tricycle.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm going to control my ability to be around an alligator as best as I possibly can. Now, by playing golf in Florida, That's not always the case, but I also have a club on me.
Right.
And, you know,
it brings you some comfort.
Correct. Nothing to that dinosaur walker.
I might not be able to see a scorpion someplace. I might step on that. That might sting me. But I, honest to God, think in this instance, the one thing that I wanted to, I do not want to deal with is a clown. Because that person is unpredictable.
Thank you.
They're
in the woods.
They're dressed like a clown.
Right.
I mean, you don't know if they're going to have a machete or not. In one case, they did. Other case, you're just popping out scaring people. But either way,
right.
That's not what you're expecting.
You know to stay away from the scorpion, stay away from the gator.
If I'm in the desert, in this scenario,
I'm not being shocked by a scorpion being there. And they're supposed to be there. From the swamp, I'm not shocked that an alligator is there. If I'm just walking down the street in Mexico City and a clown jumps out with a machete or whatever the deal is, I'm freaked the F out.
Yes. If you're not at a fair or a birthday party, clown should not be there.
People are scarier than any other situation, right?
Yes.
Just generally speaking, because they can do things, they have a motive. But now you're also dressed as a clown. And Mike, to me, this equates to, yes, I know this man robbed a bank. It's that he did it naked, right? For whatever reason, whatever crime you want to commit, you just made it weirder by dressing as a clown. And naked clown would probably bug me the most.
I walk by the J.P. Patches statue every day on my way to the gym. And I look at that thing and I'm still like, I know it was a kid's thing, but
Naked clown.
I'm just glad we
had naked clown.
I'm glad we had Captain Pitt growing up in Pittsburgh.
It was
Captain Chesapeake in Baltimore. More of the random Would You Rather question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Pinkies Plumbing presenting the KISW Miles Montgomery Golf Classic at Jamison Park.
Pinkies Plumbing, man.
Yeah.
That's what you want your toilet to sound like.
Typically, I just jump off into the woods, depending on what I got to do, but sometimes, you know. That is on Monday, June 9th. We hope to see you for a great day of golf. Sign up your foursome now for a day of golf laughs and tons of beers with us. There'll be epic prizes. You get a goodie bag. You get breakfast. You get lunch. Hopefully, you'll have a few drinks with us. Tons of prizes.
I think you will.
Including a chance to go see Shinedown in Salt Lake City and tickets to see Shinedown here in Seattle as well. All kinds of prizes. It's going to be a great time. I do know for a fact, according to our sources this morning, the foursomes are going.
Yeah,
and they're going
they are
faster
moving.
Than they thought. So if you got four guys, four ladies, you want to get together and join us at Jefferson Park, head to KISW.com and sign up your foursome now. And we'll be joined by a lot of our friends from San Juan Salsa Company, also the Fisher House.
Fisher House would be nice to actually see them.
Black Raven Brewing will show up for some treats for you to enjoy during the day.
Or the 884 Pub is sponsoring a whole.
So we got some great stuff going on. So hopefully you can join us. It's a Monday. We are taking the day off. Apparently we have maybe convinced the Daily Mix Morning Show to do their show at Jefferson Park in the morning.
Why not, man?
It is a shotgun start at 8 a.m. We should be out of there by around noon or so, but I have a feeling the party will continue.
I think it might.
After the tournament. Okay, it is our random Would You Rather question. I got a couple for you guys.
All right.
Would you rather be able to speak all language, every language fluently, or be able to play every musical instrument perfectly? So you can speak every language fluently or be able to play every musical instrument perfectly.
I would think language.
Okay.
I like the versatility of the different languages. I'm trying to learn different languages as we go. Just it's a fun little brain teaser for
me.
So the learning process is the fun part. However, being able to communicate with really anybody, I think, would be awesome.
But you only travel to English-speaking places.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hopefully you can translate even what those people are saying.
I bet you Scotland's more difficult than Mexico.
Oh, absolutely.
Because in Scotland, like, I know you're speaking English. I just don't understand what you're saying. Mexico, I'm like, I know you're speaking Spanish.
But I wouldn't mind going to some Asian countries. I wouldn't mind going to Germany and Spain and France and Italy and all these different places where, yes, they do technically speak English, but it'd be a hell of a lot easier if I can get in the native tongue.
You would be surprised, even in Germany, how quickly you can pick up on just basic terms.
Basic stuff. Absolutely.
And then from that, that's the building blocks of language. So the more time you spend anywhere, I mean, hell, you go down to Mexico and by the time you get back, man,
I have an accent.
You're better off with your Spanish than you ever thought you would be. So
the expats I know that went down there said, I did not know Spanish, but they go, man, within a month, because everyone around you speaking Spanish, you didn't even realize that you're speaking Spanish. And because the one guy's like, my wife looked at me and said, how did you learn that? It's like, learn what? Because you just spoke Spanish. She's like, high five to me, man.
Yeah. I'm taking the musical instruments on this one.
Okay.
I believe that if you have the language, all right, yes, you can meet people. Yes, you can maybe meet the language of love, so to speak, wherever your travels may take you. However, to be honest with you, I mean, I don't travel that much. So for me, it's just the idea of being able to jam with anybody anytime I could. Because you know what? If you get up on stage or you're in a bar or whatever the deal is, if you are good at a musical instrument, you're gonna bring the house down, no matter what it is. Even if you pick up the bagpipes and go up on stage.
I mean, if you can rock the bagpipes, yeah.
I had no idea you could play the bagpipes.
I'm taking the musical instruments. One, I just like music. Mm-hmm. And it would be cool that it doesn't matter what they hand you, you suddenly can do it. And there's nothing wrong with learning languages. That is a strong one. But in my limited travels, I do fine in Mexico. I realize that charades is universal. It does not matter where you are. Charades works out. So, because typically you're just looking for something.
Yeah.
If you can act it out, all they got to do is point and I figure my stuff out. And the one time I went to Costa Rica years ago, I ended up getting laid by a chick who only spoke Spanish. She didn't speak any English. I didn't speak any Spanish.
Good work, man.
And I did not do charades, but it's kind of understood. And we had a fantastic night. And as far as she knew, my name was Steven Tyler.
Okay.
And you can even see her search her brain like, that sounds familiar. Well, yeah, it's the lead singer, Aerosmith. I'm not him, and I didn't say that. She gave the wrong name, but yeah.
Going down, Mr. Tyler? Random, random,
random, random, random. Hello, Valdez. Welcome to the men's room. Random, random,
random. Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Valdez, welcome to the program. And the random question.
Thank you.
All right, would you rather be named after an oil spill?
No.
Let's go. Let's go this one. Would you rather have to poop 20 times a day, 20 times, or only be able to pee in a bathtub? So anytime you had to pee...
You got to find a bathtub.
You got to find a bathtub. So would you rather have to poop 20 times a day or be able to only pee in bathtubs?
I figured that I'd only have to be able to pee in bathtubs. I would not want to be sitting on the pot 20 times a day.
What if you're... Think about it, you're on a plane. You know, it's a six-hour flight. You know, you're going wherever you're going. You're going to Hawaii, all right? Got a great trip planned, five and a half hours. You really got to pee. The problem is, most planes, no bathtub.
No.
So there's just nothing you can do.
Until you get checked into that hotel. Look, though, you might poop five times on the flight.
It's true.
So it's one or the other. So you're taking the, bathtub.
Yeah. I can get over the smell of urine. Everybody else all around me would have to deal with it.
All right. Okay. I'm taking I'm pooping 20 times a day.
I'm with you.
I probably already pooped three or four times a day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
So I can knock 50 now. You know,
right.
I'm already kind of on that tip. I mean, typically before I come to work, I've already dropped two. One before I go to the gym, one when I get home and have a cup of coffee.
Right.
Yeah, I'm taking a poop as well. Just based on the logistics of, I'm at work. I got to take a leak. There's no bathtub, right? And I don't know if I can convince
there is a shower
corporate.
In the building.
There's a shower. That's not a bathtub.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
So even the gym doesn't help me out. And look. You know, these days, I know corporations, they have to deal with any kind of handicap or malady you might have. I just feel like it'd be a tough sell. Like, listen, guys, honest to God, we need to install a bathtub in a men's bathroom because for whatever reason, that's the only place I can earn it. It is impossible for me to go otherwise. Can you please put it in the bathroom?
Yeah,
I can't explain the medical history behind this, but that's the only way it works.
Raise my ass. Would you rather have to poop 20 times a day or only be able to pee in a bathtub? Alex Moss, he's 25, and he's from Prestbury, Cheshire. And he was born with a condition so rare it affects just 1 in 3,000 people in the UK. And it's had a debilitating impact on his life. As a young man born with a condition so severe that he has to use the toilet up to 20 times a day, he shared his experience. He was born with an anorectal malformation, which is a disorder affecting only 1 in 3,000 babies. The birth defect occurs when a baby is born without a normal anal opening. So, at just 17 hours old, Alex underwent life-saving surgery to create an artificial opening.
That boy ain't got no poop chute. That's right.
And the procedure was successful, but a lack of sensation in the area means he is prone to accidents and must always be near a toilet. Now, to help manage his bowel movements, the 25-year-old had another surgery at the age of 12. Now, that procedure involved doctors creating a small opening, usually in the belly, connected to the colon. And through this opening, a special liquid, basically an enema, can be inserted to flush out the bowels and prevent accidents. In other words, he's got a valve.
So he can time release when this happens.
Okay, look, I got to drive 3 hours. Yeah. I can flush out my intestines.
Okay.
So before I leave. So that helps maintain regularity and better control over his bathroom visits. Now, when he was 17, he underwent the procedure again, but it closed up again, which is why he had to have it again. So he hoped to undergo another procedure, but due to delays, he's been on the waiting list for many years. Now, the young man endures life with this terrible condition, one that has shattered his hopes and dreams for the future. I'm always told the surgery will be next year. And that next year things will be different. But nothing has ever changed. I've lost 10 years of my life, which should have been the best 10 years. I wanted to go to a university, study history. I've got a couple close friends, and sometimes they'll come around for a bit. But I don't go out, and I can't make new friends. He described his debilitating affliction. He said the agony caused by stomach cramps is so excruciating, it's akin to being skinned alive.
Jeez.
Furthermore, an essential need to remain within proximity to a loo and to stave off any embarrassing situations it could have basically means that he can't really leave and go out into public, and he has to use the bathroom up to 20 times every single day.
But see, when you just ask the question, you go, ha, ha, ha. Listening to this guy's story is like, oh, my God, man.
Yeah.
That is horrible.
Absolutely horrible. Now, as far as going to the bathroom in the bathtub and peeing in there, according to a new survey, nearly a quarter of Americans pee in the shower on a regular basis.
Do you pee in on a regular basis?
I do not.
Yeah, I don't regularly. Like, look, sometimes if you have to go, I'm like, just let her fly. But it's not, that's not my normal choice.
I normally
choice
use the bathroom before I get into the shower.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10.
A survey of 2,000 general population Americans revealed that 12% do so daily, while another 12% maybe sprinkle in there a few times a week. As far as millennials, a quarter of them indicated peeing in the shower is a daily practice, compared to just 13% of Gen Xers and 6% of baby boomers. Is this the same? Okay, I'm wondering by gender.
Mm, okay.
Because guys, it just seems like if you're standing up, that is a natural position to use the bathroom.
Yeah, let her rip.
And I'm not saying that women cannot do that.
Well, in the shower, you're fine.
Yeah.
Because there's no mess to be made. Like, women, I get it. You're going to sit down when you pee for obvious reasons, but in the shower, doesn't matter, right?
So they say by gender, 30% of men do it regularly. 20% of women do it regularly. In total, 45% of Americans pee in the shower throughout the course of an average year.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. I say peeing in the shower often reflects our modern obsession with multitasking. I just think you're there, you got to go. What's the difference?
I mean, it's legitimately what it comes down to, right? It's just, I'm in the shower, I have to pee. But like you said, yep. I tried to do all of that before I should go in.
We just lost the three callers that were on there. So if you want to call back in the random Would You Rather question, 206-803-ROCK. In the meantime, I'll give you guys one. Okay. Would you rather shave your dad's ass or your mom's bikini line?
Dad's ass.
Dad's ass. 100%.
Dad's ass?
Dad's yeah. ass.
Okay. All right. Would you rather poop a softball or pee a marble? Poop a softball.
Softball.
Yeah, I think I got to go softball.
Based on the fact that I know people who have had kidney stones.
Oh, yeah.
The size of a marble would be excruciating. I know the kidney stones have edges on them.
But they're so much smaller.
But based on what you said, it seems like that your daughter might already have the ability to be able to...
She can poop a softball.
To birth some... So obviously that...
It can be done. I can tell you that. My brother had kidney stones last year, 2 years ago.
What'd he say?
It's what everyone says. He says it is absolutely awful. You can't necessarily predict... Like, basically, you're going to take a leak, and it's... You might as well gamble in Vegas. Like, will this be the time I pass the stone? Will this not? And he's like, and when you do, it is absolutely awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. What else we got here? Let's see. Would you rather your name be Areola or Labia?
Areola.
Areola?
Areola.
Sounds like a Disney princess.
It does, man. And, you know, Labia, although I'm pretty sure I went to high school with some kid named Labia, some girl. Or I'm sure, Labia. Like, I'm pretty sure it's labia. My mom used to work at a college as an admissions counselor, and she would tell me some of the names that she would see. The one that stuck out, she's like, I go to Baltimore City High School. In Baltimore City, look, teachers don't encourage you to be successful. No one encourages you to be successful there. It's a weird thing. But she does a college presentation, and she couldn't believe it. A couple of students were actually interested in doing something after high school. So she's like, great. Mm-hmm. So she sits down with this girl, and she said, I'm kind of reading her preliminary application. And she goes, this girl, she's got it. She is bright and everything. It makes sense. She had to write a little essay. It was perfect. The punctuation, the whole thing. So my mom said, I'm listening to her spiel. And the girl was very kind, very well-mannered. And finally, my mother had to say, how do you pronounce your name, sweetheart? That's the quote from my mother. She goes, oh, it's Shathid.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And my mom said, well, the problem is, I don't have a problem with the name, but it is spelled S-head. So it'd be like S. Head Montgomery. So she's like, I didn't want to say her name because if you said, hey, what's her name? She'd have been like, S. Head. So my mom asked her, she's like, it's Shathid. My mother's like, Jesus Christ. Random, think about random, that. A girl has to go through life with that. Random, hello, Kenneth. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola. Kenneth, welcome to the program, the random Would You Rather question. All right, Kenneth, would you rather know the day that you are going to die? Or would you rather know how you're going to die? So either the day or how it's going down.
Oh, I would want to know how it's going down.
Are you sure, man?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I would want to know the day, because then you got to do everything you want to before that day, and I don't know if I would want to know an exact date. But, you know, if a certain series of events is going on, I know, here it comes.
But what if you find out, like, look, they can say you're going to die... of this day in 2030, and you're right, okay, bucket list time, but you're committing to enjoying your life for as long as you can. Because when that day shows up, right, it's over. And you don't know how you're going to go. But either way, you put all your effort into trying to have a good time.
But you could also battle cancer the last 3 years.
But you're still, I'm still going to go on, you know, then I have cancer in China.
Then you know the day.
If I know the day. Now, if you find out the way you die is the most recent American serial killer had you chained up in the basement for a week, and eventually you died after cutting off your fingers, like, I do not want to know that.
What if you knew you're going to die in an airplane crash? In theory, right? Okay.
But, well, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that every time you get on an airplane for the rest of
that's the one.
That's the day that it's going to happen. It will eventually happen. That is how. It could be the next airplane you get on.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you get on an airplane the day you're going to die when you feel perfectly healthy, knowing that you're going to fly back home because you have one day left to live, but in fact, the way you die is that airplane's going down from Hawaii.
Well, so I wouldn't do that because I'm taking everyone with me. If you start like,
well, look, it's just the way. I mean, you could have a heart attack on the way to the airport. You do
you
not.
Could.
You don't know how.
But I would not risk all those people. You could, be
in, you could be in a taxi accident on the way from the airport. Or
sure.
Getting a wreck with an Uber or whatever. You don't know how it's going to happen.
I don't want to know.
But you know the day. It's definitely going to happen that day.
Yeah, I would pick day.
Yeah, I feel like the week before.
Wow. Once again, bedroom colors. Here
it's
are
not
the
wrong.
Words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
That's kind of a tough question.
It is. I think the ultimate FU that the universe could do is, look, we can tell you the exact date that you're going to die. The exact date, right? And you go, okay, I'm going to plan my bucket list, blah, blah, blah. What they didn't tell you was, oh, no, they're taking you off of off of life support after being there for 10 years,
I'm
going
to give you a scenario.
That's the setup.
I'm going to give you a scenario.
All right.
You want to know how you're going to die, right? Maybe.
I don't, but okay.
Okay, let's just...
In this instance, yes.
Hypothetically, okay? So I say you're going to have a massive heart attack while in the middle of having sex with your wife.
Okay.
That's how.
I might die tonight, then.
That's hey, baby. Like, I mean...
We're going to test the theory.
But every single time that you guys are intimate... You're going to be thinking to yourself,
this might be it.
Is this the time that I have a heart attack and die?
Initially, though, after a while.
It could be any time.
Right. You get a few under your belt, and all of a sudden, you're going to start remembering, like, actually, you know what? I'm still on the younger side of things. I'll be okay. I'm still relatively healthy. I'm all right. So
but they didn't say when.
Right. But it gets into the back of your brain. Like, all I'm saying, initially, yes, it's on your mind while you're getting after it. But give it 10 times, and you've already forgotten about it. Like, this is how I'm going to go, but I'm not there right now.
I don't think you forget about it.
You never forget about it.
I just don't think you forget about it. I hear what you're saying, where you're going to get more, like anything, you get more comfortable accepting your circumstance.
Sure.
But I don't think that you're ever going to forget, hey, you know, this hot night, just right, like,
Mike,
I might die tonight.
Mike, you're going to be, you're going to die in a car crash.
Okay.
You're going to be you're a passenger.
I'm a passenger. Okay.
You're going to die in a car crash.
Okay.
All right. Now, do you want to get in the car with somebody else?
Are you calling an Uber?
I mean,
you're a passenger.
Right.
You're still a passenger in the
right.
car. So are you going to drive everywhere for the rest of
your life? It's going to be on my mind every time.
That's
right.
What I'm saying. It's never going away. After 10 times, taking Ubers,
at some point, you can't run from your fate, though, Miles.
Exactly.
It's going to happen. So it's.
But if you keep running, you die of old age, see?
I like to believe that if I'm sitting here knowing that that is how I'm going to die.
Yeah.
At some point, I'm just going to accept it, and I'm going to try to enjoy the rest of my life. You're right. Every time I get into the passenger seat, like, is this the one?
Right.
That's about it.
Okay. The reason we asked, would you rather know the day you're going to die or how you're going to die? A 900-year-old book that claims to predict the day of judgment has attracted attention for the author's somewhat psychic ability to reference and predict future popes, which he has successfully, believe it or not. The 900-year-old book discovered in the archives of the Vatican seems to predict the year of the Judgment Day and when it will happen. The book in question is titled The Prophecy of the Popes and was written by Saint Malachy.
I know, I thought it was Malarkey.
In the 12th century. The text contains a series of Latin phrases that are believed to describe every pope, ranging from Celestine II in 1143, concluding with the current leader of the church, Pope Francis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It also said to predict the day of judgment when Christians believe Jesus will return to earth. That day is going to be...
Remember me!
In 2027. The last passage of the text reads, in the final persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will reign Peter the Roman, who will feed his flock amid many tribulations.
after which the seven-hilled city will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge will judge the people. The end.
The end.
The end.
Ta-da.
That's all, folks.
Wouldn't that suck if that's the last thing you heard?
Porky Pig.
That's all, folks.
Still to come, the return of Who Sucks Less on the way at 4:30, and your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.